No need to hide it.
Oh, man. Did you see that coffee order that went viral yesterday? This is the Colleen and Bradley Show. My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Well, hello.
And did you see that complicated Starbucks order?
And I wanted us to talk about it because Edward, whoever you are, and I feel like he's going to get a series on Quibi at some point.
Now.
Well, I mean...
Now the Roku channel.
Yeah, exactly. Which means it's not likely, but it wouldn't surprise me if this person's fame goes viral. But you probably saw item one of one in an order by Edward from the Starbucks that inspired a coffee, or a Starbucks employee, rather, to share the coffee. I think it was Twitter that was like, on today's episode of Why I Want to Quit My Job. And you can see the sticker for the description of the order, like all the requirements. And oh my God, you guys, it is so absurd. But I want to talk about this because this is just the tip. This is just the foamy tip of the creamy iceberg that is this Starbucks viral trend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What, are you having problems with the creamy tip?
No, I am. No, of course not.
So, venti caramel crunch frap as follows. 5 banana.
What does that mean? What?
I think that means 5 bananas.
What?
Pieces of banana?
That can't be right.
Maybe just a pump of banana.
Well, but
I have a solution to this.
They have an indication of pumps later, so I don't think it's pumps.
Oh.
But let me just read them.
Yeah, read
Let's
them.
Let's not get hung up on the details. 5 banana, X caramel drizzle, extra whip, extra ice, cinnamon dolce top, perhaps. 7 pumps, add dark caramel sauce. X caramel. Is X, it's, X means get rid of?
That's a good question.
Or does it mean extra?
I think
extra?
It means extra.
But the problem is extra is spelled out in some places.
Because I think when the words are shorter, then it's spelled out. But when there's a lot of words, then it shortens it.
So that would mean, God, this is so intense. Extra cinnamon dolce top, 7 pumps add dark caramel sauce, extra caramel crunch, 1 pump honey blend, extra salted brown butter, 5 pumps frappuccino resting face. I don't know what that is. 7 add frappuccino chips, heavy cream, double blended. Oh my God. This order is absurd, right?
This is ridiculous.
And, oh, our good friend Panda. I knew she would be there for us.
Thank you, Panda.
She says, I'm just getting off at Starbucks. Edward is pretty average for how people have been lately. We've been silently raging about these on Reddit for a while.
P.S.
Edward, just
something?
Say you hate coffee.
Which, thank you. That's one thing.
Yeah, is there
right?
coffee in that drink? Did you mention any coffee?
No, there's not. It's a frappuccino. I don't think there's coffee in those drinks. Here's my, I'm going to blame something. And it's Starbucks' fault.
Well, okay. So thank you, because in conclusion, I was like, I think the thing people want to do when they see this story is say Edward is a D-bag.
Yeah.
But Edward is only a D-bag because Starbucks allows him to be a D-bag.
Because
right?
when you order, and I can see that this is a mobile order, right? So I order through the app a lot. Now, I'm low maintenance because I like coffee. And that's all. I mean, occasionally I'll get a latte, but like, I just want a coffee, a Grande Pike Place, nothing else. But you can customize your order. So when you're in the app, you can start pressing buttons, and that's where you get all these extra pumps and bananas and stuff.
So, I mean, again, you can look at Edward as being the D-bag, but Starbucks allows him to do this. And I, at the end of the day, just feel bad for the employee who has to go through all this nonsense. And it's not just Starbucks and Edward that we have to blame. It's also social media, because apparently there is this whole trend to have absurd creative, you know, Starbucks orders posted to social media. So it's like people are curating their order so that they can then take a photograph and post it online, because in the world that we live in now, That's just what we do. So it's not just Edward. It's not just Starbucks. It's all of social media, because in a forest, when a tree falls, did it happen? If somebody ordered a complicated order on Starbucks and there was no social media, would anyone know? No, right. And everybody would just do, because all this is sugar. So you would just take the pre-made sugar, like the one that they have available to you.
Right. This is all about attention.
Yeah.
Because here's the other thing, and I know this from life. When I go to, for example, like I like to design my own salad at the Crisp and Green.
Yeah.
They give you the options. Every time I forget what my combo is. Every time. So it's like I'm making a new one every single time because I never remember. No person in the world has toyed around with the combinations of Frappuccinos so much that they know specifically that they like 5 bananas, 4 pumps of whatever. And by the way, it is 5 bananas.
Like actual bananas?
I think so. You can add on, like when you go to the Frappuccino screen on the app, it asks you if you want to add banana. And you can add 1 banana, 2 banana, 3 banana, 4, 5 banana, 6 banana, 7 banana, more. How many can you add? I mean, you can really go to town.
But again, can I just, this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 customized
ingredients
based on an actual item.
Right.
So it's not like choose your own adventure alone. It's starting with the, I keep wanting to say Vermont Caramel Crunch Frap, but it's probably venti.
Yeah, and it is venti. I mean, you got to have a venti if you're going to get 5 bananas in there.
Because you can't stick anything else.
I mean, come on. But I will say that's not something that is offered on my Frappuccino list. These are the Frappuccinos available. Chocolate cookie crumble,
ooh,
caramel ribbon crunch, which that's probably it. Caramel crunch frap. Yeah, I bet that's it. Strawberry cream frap, chai creme frappuccino, double chocolatey chip cream. These are milkshakes, you guys.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Just FYI, your frappuccino is a milkshake.
Let's be clear. Starbucks, as much as I love going to Starbucks to get a cup of coffee, and I do, like you, Colleen. The only time that I deviate is usually during the holidays. I like to get an eggnog. Or if I'm just like, if I'm actually going to have like a treat from Starbucks, I'll get that, what is that, cold foam experience? It's a little bit sweet, but not cascara cold foam.
Yeah, we've talked about that before.
Yeah. But I don't customize anything.
Coffee.
Yeah, I like the flavor of coffee.
Now, we have long said on this show that there should be a coffee only line. Like when you roll up to your local any coffee shop, I don't care if there's a drive through or a, there should be a line that's just like people who want their plain coffee black.
And I do appreciate that they will just turn around and grab you your coffee instead of putting you off into the line after. But even waiting in line, to me, is ridiculous when you could just have a person with a pot of coffee and a cup, like just pouring the cups.
Yes.
And I roll up, swipe, move. Like I will be out of your hair in no time flat.
Bye.
Your employees will love me. You will love me because I will come back again and again.
Have a walk-up window with just that surface.
Yeah.
Call it just the drip.
And just the drip.
The amount of overhead. I guarantee you they're making far more money off of a cup of coffee in terms of the spread on what they're paying versus what they're charging as compared to these Frappuccino things where there's 50 ingredients.
100% true. And if they could just like turn and burn, no pun intended, the drip people, the drips.
Yeah, just call it the drip line.
Because this is what we've learned this, Bradley.
I'm a drip.
When we've been in a time crunch because we have to get on the air because rule number one of radio is be on time.
Yeah.
And we're stuck in line 5 deep and the people in front of us are ordering the Edwards special. We like can't get to our damn coffee.
Ugh, it's so close yet so far.
When we come back,
you can just see the coffee sitting there. You're like, can I just go back there and help myself?
When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, we're being trolled by the tabloids, and it's time that we all just accept it. After this,
all right,
on My Talk 107.1. This is the Colleen and Bradley show on My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything Entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hello.
We are being trolled so hard by the tabloids.
Well, what's going
Here's the headline from shefinds.com. I don't go to this That's website regularly, but it showed up in my feed.
Okay.
Nicole Kidman looks completely unrecognizable now. How is this the same person?
Oh, wow. Did she have something done?
More photos of Nicole Kidman in characters I Love Lucy's Lucille Ball have been released, and we cannot believe how different she looks. And then they go on to tell us that she is the spitting image of Lucille Ball.
Okay, well, I would have given them the first part. She does look not like herself mm-hmm. in the hair area, but spitting image of Lucille Ball, no. She does not, even though we're not supposed to say that.
What do you mean we're not supposed to say that?
Well, because everybody's like, and she looks amazingly like Lucille Ball. Like, everybody came out and said she looked like Lucille Ball.
See, this is what I think is happening. Like, this is, they're paying the tabloids to try to gaslight us into thinking that she actually does look like Lucille Ball, because there was so much squawking about how miscast she was at the beginning. I think they're trying to convince us that we don't actually have eyeballs and remember what Lucille Ball actually looked
like. Yeah, they're like, no, if we keep saying it enough, you'll believe it.
And
she doesn't look like, but you also have to remember there's most of the audience probably doesn't know what Lucille Ball looks
like. Well, I was thinking about that too, that likely if they just say, look at how much she looks like Lucille Ball, there's a good portion of people that don't even know what a Lucille Ball is.
Yeah.
So they're not thinking she looks like Lucille Ball.
That works, although, until and unless people Google.
Right. And then they're like, what?
Yeah.
But
or, I don't know, watch an episode of I Love Lucy.
I do want to say one other thing.
Which is?
Javier Bardem doesn't really look like Ricky either.
Oh, no.
So, at the end of the day, I feel like we're all putting our, like, oh, look it, she doesn't even look like Lucy. But he doesn't look like Ricky either.
Yeah. I mean, I think Lucy is the more iconic, as much as I love Desi Arnaz, and he has his story. Mm-hmm. I think people are just always going to focus on Lucy, which may or may not be fair. But what I was going to say is there's this whole... So everybody's having this argument then about whether or not she looks or doesn't look like, or should we even be holding her to that standard? And then there's this whole just conversation about a woman's looks, and that's like a whole problematic conversation, right? Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, like... Could we have the conversation, like, is this going to be good? Because another element of the possible gaslighting, intentional or otherwise, is that nobody's focused on whether or not this is actually good. Like, right. This could be a big, like, flaming turd sandwich.
Right.
And everybody's over here focused on, like, whether or not she looks enough like, so that sort of takes it away from, like, what I think we would normally look at when it comes to a film. Like, is it a good performance? And that has been used as a form of shaming,
right,
in this conversation, where people are like, it's not about a, like, you know,
the vitamin of Vegemin episode.
Yeah, it's not an impression. She's not doing an impression. Mm-hmm. She's an actor.
Right.
Well, okay, but at the same time, when you inhabit a character
who's iconic,
you have to bring something, and she very well may. We don't know yet.
But we're so busy with this other storyline.
Yeah. Like, the truth is, when we watch the movie, and sadly, I think this is all bottom line, a good thing for, like, all of this conversation, whether we're being gaslit or not, is a great thing for the movie, because it just gives the movie oxygen in a way that it wouldn't have otherwise. If none of us talked about this, it would be a footnote. Like, Holly and A Dirt Alert would remind us that this movie was coming out, mm-hmm. and we'd be like, oh yeah. But now, don't you think?
Oh, then yes. This is all part of the narrative. I mean, even from the get-go, even from the jump, the first leaked photographs that weren't even of her in character, but they were sweeping headlines. Because it is all that they have right now, right? We can't see any clips. We can't see. And it's bizarre too, because what is their daughter's name?
Lucy Jr.
Mm-hmm. Is it Lucy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so she's very defensive of this. Like, she's very defensive of the fact that Nicole Kidman was cast in this role and reminding us that it's not an impression of her doing, you know, the classic episodes that we know and love. It's not a caricature of her. It's more of a dramatic role. And, you know, she's been very vocal about that. We can't see any clips of the actual acting. So all we have to go on are these pictures that are from the set. And we have eyeballs and then we have opinions because that's 2021 in the great old US of A.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, but this is all, like you said, Bradley, this is the only thing to keep it all alive.
It's just oxygen in a way.
It's just oxygen.
I did want to reference that article that you led us to in She Finds. Links back to an Instagram account called Kidman yep. as Ball,
yep.
which has 237 followers. But it does have several more photos.
Yep.
Some of them are like, whoa, that's, I don't know what that is. Some of them are more, like, I could see it more.
Right.
Again, I kind of, like, this will all be moot when we're sitting down and watching the mm-hmm. film. Mm-hmm. But again, I just go back to that whole thing about Nicole Kidman. Whenever I've seen her recently in a performance, albeit they few, I'm distracted by her. So I'm curious to see if that continues in this movie.
Well, you know, there is, I do just want to say that too. Like, the mark to me of a really, really amazing actress is your ability to divorce yourself from the fact that you are watching that actor or actress.
Yeah.
And more and more, Nicole Kidman, I mean, I think that that's something that people who reach a certain echelon of fame rub up against in any role. Is
sure.
the audience's ability to put them in the role.
Yep.
And I have, to your point, not seen Nicole Kidman disappear into a role at all recently.
Yeah.
She's always been Nicole Kidman
playing a role. Yep.
When we return on the Colleen and Bradley Show, we've got celebrities behaving badly to tell you about. We call them D-bags. We'll tell you about them after this on My Talk 107.1. Celebrities behaving badly. We have a name for them on the Colleen and Bradley Show, My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything Entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hello.
And we have a name for those celebs behaving badly. We call them
D-Bag.
Presenting Lord and Lady Douchebag of the Day.
Who's your bushdag?
Fair Abraham.
Oh. Okay.
Mostly because of the way, like, this is
Stop
worded.
Stop stealing
from CBS. She, this is the headline from The Sun. Money talks. Teen Mom star Farrah Abraham says she's been filming cameos for $71.25 for fans who have had rough times.
Wait.
What?
$71.25.
Is that a thing?
That's how much she's charging for her cameos.
Is that supposed to be, like, generous?
That's what I love about it, is this is like, she's doing this to cheer people up in these rough times. If you want a cameo from Farrah Abraham, you too can spend $71.25 to have her cheer you up.
Thank you.
Yeah. Feeling good is everything, guys. I hope you feel good. I know I've been doing a lot of cameos of everyone going through some rough times. Believe me, check the Pattern app. What? I hope to God we're not going back in Mercury retrograde. That was some scariness. What? Anyway.
Oh, the Pattern is that app that Channing Tatum was all about.
On the Pattern.
Yeah, that astrology-ish kind of data grab.
Okay, that's why. Mm-hmm. Okay, so she's making money off of that.
I also would love to credit or acknowledge or congratulate her for getting a tabloid to post an ad as a headline. Because literally it's like, here's what I'm selling and here's the price. Like, they literally included the price as the headline, like as if it's just straight up advertising.
So
thanks, Lucy Murgatroyd.
It worked.
Heavens.
Here's heavens to Lucy Murgatroyd. So I just want to give you some other hot prices. If you're shorter on cash, maybe you don't have the $71.25 to spend on Farrah, but you want somebody Farrah adjacent, you can get her mom, Deborah, for $39.03. Nope. Or if you'd like her dad to send you a nice message,
nope,
for $31.22, you could have her dad, Michael. And if you want a Sophia video, her daughter,
that's
$36.42.
That's not appropriate.
Mm-mm. Also, what's with these weird prices?
Is she thinking about tax?
I don't know. It's
Janelle
so strange.
Evans is available to record a message for $156.09.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe, no.
Wow, Farrah must feel really, you know, insecure.
Who sets their cameo prices?
I'm sure they do.
Uh-huh.
Don't you think?
I mean, yes, but then I feel like we know Farrah. We know her heart. She would think she was worth far more than $75.
Well, but that's why I think she's trying to, that's why I think it's included in this headline.
She's trying to
make you feel like she's doing a public service.
Oh, well, now I'm looking at her cameo over, it's $95.
Oh, maybe, what a liar. I mean, maybe this article has oh, wait a minute.
No, it's translated in here.
Oh, okay. You knew exactly what I was...
Well, and I don't know. Maybe I overthought your brain, but the British...
That's what I was thinking.
...conversion is listed, and it's like £53 or something.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
Well. Also, when you type in Cameo Farrah, it comes up Cameo Farrah Moan. Is that a drag queen or something? Farrah Moan?
No, but I mean, she's a... Remember, she's backdoor teen mom, so...
Oh, Farrah Moan is a person on Cameo.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, Farrah Abraham does
RuPaul's
promise.
RuPaul's Drag Race. Yep, it's a drag queen.
A 24-hour delivery. So,
oh, wow. That's a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Should we get one? No.
No.
Are you... What?
Do not encourage...
I get tempted.
We could get her for free.
I know. I get tempted by Cameo.
Well, there are some good people on Cameo.
I know.
Bootsy Collins is on Cameo. Totally wanted to spend the $75 on that.
My husband got a cameo for one of his best friends of Michael Rapaport, and it is hilarious. I mean, we have watched it hundreds of times. It kind of is delightful. I do see the
appeal. You can get Jon Bon Jovi.
Really? For how much?
Only $10,000.
Oh, okay. So I did know about this because he's doing that for charity, and people are dropping like $5,000.
You can get Dionne Warwick for $350.
You can get Dr. Now for $200.
That is amazing. You can get Amy Slattin from 1,000 Pound Sisters for only $50. And she's got a 24-hour turnaround. You guys, I mean, it really, it's like Christmas over here. Mm-hmm. So fun.
Wow, what a
look
sad
at all
Christmas.
The animals. Do you see all the
celebrity
animals? That's
like when your mom
animals?
Is like, you can pick one toy.
Or you can be like the Flanderses and have an imaginary Christmas.
Imaginary Christmas!
That means you get nothing.
All right, Bradley, who's your D-bag?
Thanks for asking. My You're D-bag, welcome. Get ready for it. Ghislaine Maxwell!
Oh. Pew, pew!
Smell, smell.
What now?
Pew, pew, right? So,
oh,
hat tip to our lovely listener, Andrew, who sent us this article yesterday. Judge adjourns Ghislaine Maxwell's trial until the fall because of new indictment. So, I tootled on over to Law and Crime.
It's my favorite.
.com. And there's an update in the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. So, you'll remember that Ghislaine Maxwell is in jail, mm-hmm, awaiting trial, which was supposed to occur in July for sex trafficking and being a ne'er-do-well and confidant of one now dead Jeffrey Epstein, convicted right. pedophile and sex offender, right?
No big deal.
She tried to get out of jail before the trial, was not able to secure bond. Well, she's going to be in jail for a little bit longer. She's now going to be in jail through the fall. Because apparently that new sex trafficking charge that was added like a month or two ago, mm-hmm, I think it was in March, maybe. I don't know. The days all run together.
It was recent.
Yeah. That indictment led to the judge, in this case, a U.S. district judge named Allison Nathan, saying, having carefully considered the parties' respective positions, the court grants Maxwell's request for a short continuance until the fall to allow the defense to prepare for the additional charges. I mean, that sounds like a win for Ghislaine Maxwell. However, you must remember, she's still in prison.
Right.
So she will continue to be in prison and probably complaining about how her her toilet smells and she can't flush.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Did you see there were like headlines and pictures released of her within the last couple days of her with a black eye?
Yeah, she said.
What was that?
She said it was because, you'll remember, she felt forced to wear a sock on her face.
Oh, that's right.
Because prison is real bright and they shine flashlights at mm-hmm. her. And so she was forced to cover up her eyes with a sock, and the sock gave her a black eye.
How heavy is that sock?
I don't know. It's ludicrous. So, you know, it's like a win-lose. I mean, I don't know that it's particularly advantageous for her or not in the end. Like, sure, she'll get a little bit more time to prepare for this case, but I don't know that that's really going to give her a leg up in terms of fighting the actual sex trafficking charge. Like, you're just, like, good luck to you, ma'am.
Right.
Good luck to you. The prosecution was like, hi, there are victims who would like to get their day in court. TikTok, can right. we get this moving? But, you know, the judge felt like there was a need to allow her a little bit more time. But I'd say, as a person who has no stake in the game other than to talk about it on this show, I'm fine with it because it means she might have to sit there a little bit longer and think about what she's done.
Good.
Or not, because you're innocent until proven guilty, but I still have feelings. Thank you, because I watched a documentary.
Yeah, you can have your opinions.
I am not a judge.
Yes.
But I will judge you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We are judges in the court of public opinion.
Yeah. I'm not judging.
I'm just
saying.
Just judging.
But I'm really just judging.
Can we talk about that picture, though?
What, the black eye picture?
Like, all the headlines, Ghislaine Maxwell gets a black eye behind bars. First pick from prison. And the way that the picture is laid out makes it look like she's peeking from in between bars.
Well.
It's very... And you can see this, you know, alleged black eye, the bruise from her... prison socks.
I mean, like, are the prison socks made out of barbed wire?
I don't understand.
I actually thought the sock thing was genius. Like, if you find yourself in a hotel with, like, without blackout curtains.
And all you have is a clean pair of socks?
Yeah, I would use a clean sock. I wouldn't, like, do a stinky sock around the face.
Well, maybe that's why she's suffering so much.
She's got a fungal infection.
Oh, no.
Some toe fungus in her eye.
Ooh. On that note, when we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, I want you to get your eye rolls ready.
Okay.
We've got a little D-bag double down. This one involves our boyfriend, Zac Efron, boyfriend of the show, and his new bestie. Who's his new bestie? Kyle.
Oh, God.
Sandy Lance.
Nice try.
Well, we're going to be working on it after this
right.
on My Talk 107.1. Thank you, Holly. This is the Colleen and Bradley show on My Talk 107.1, streaming live. At MyTalk1071.com, everything entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hello.
And you know what? We got a little D-bag double down.
Presenting Lord and Lady Douchebag of the Day.
Do you remember yesterday we talked a little bit about Zac Efron and his relationship with Vanessa Valladares? Yeah. Okay, so the story goes like this. And by the way, before we even get to it, the D-bag today is Kyle Sandy Lands.
Which we'll explain.
We'll explain in just a moment. So yesterday, the conversation we had around Zac Efron was the fact that eagle-eyed viewers of Vanessa Valladares' Instagram noted a comment from 3 years ago on a photograph that was taken in Wales of Vanessa Valladares in a bikini. And it said something along the lines of, God bless you and Zac, XXOO. Zac spelled Z-A-C, like Zac Efron, and fans went wild so because clearly, they were like, oh, they've been together for 3 years.
Secret relationship spilled out into the comments.
And we never knew.
Oh.
Okay, so as happens, okay, I honestly think we should, this is a game to us at this point, right? A story comes out about Zac Efron. The very next day, there will be a story about what Kyle Sandiland says about this story about Zac Efron.
Because he likes to have thoughts and opinions because they're besties.
It's like clockwork. So Kyle Sandiland's on the Kyle and Jackie O show says the following about his bestie, Zach, and his relationship with Vanessa Valladares. And I have a thought about this, but I'm going to hold on to it for a sec. He said that it's true. They actually have been together, quote, a lot longer than people realize. He says that it's not just recent, meaning their relationship is not just recent. It's been going on for a little while, he said. I don't know exactly how long. That's it.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically what he's doing is trying to pour a little fuel on this idea that they've been together for 3 years. But he doesn't necessarily confirm it.
He's just inserting himself into the conversation, which drives headlines. Because this guy, for those of you who maybe aren't like combing through tabloids on a regular basis, and nor should you, because that's just a horrible place to live. But we do it for you. It's a public service. You're welcome.
Such a giver.
He, you know, whenever he talks, the Daily Mail will pick up his story as like, you know, radio host and Zac Efron bestie comments on what's really going on, right? So there's an audience, a market for this, and so he's just, you know, pimping, he's serving the market, right?
Right.
Well, okay, it's interesting that you bring him up because this connects all sorts of things that we are normally talking about. And that is, I think it was last week, and I don't remember what prompted this, but I went kind of down a Kyle Sandiland's rabbit hole.
Ooh, fun.
Because we talked about him last week having thoughts and opinions. And I'm like, who is this guy? And like, what do people think of him? Like, how is he perceived in Australia? And there is a lot of criticism in his direction.
Ooh.
Now, a lot of the criticism recently goes back to something, and I just looked this up so that I could speak with actual words. In this goes all the way back. There's a kerfuffle about something he said about the Virgin Mary, like the mother of Jesus.
Like, did he say that he knew her? Was he invited to her birthday party?
I'm not even going to say
it. Brought her tequila?
But he called her. I don't even want to say this because I'm just being superstitious. Like, I don't like to say words. Like, that's just, I'm not going there.
That you didn't say he did, but they're bad.
Yeah, he called her names, basically, and, like, implied that she was a loose woman. And I'm just like perhaps she didn't actually become impregnated by the Lord. I don't want to get into a biblical discussion, but he basically implied that she was
lying.
I'll
bite my tongue then.
She was lying to cover up maybe some infidelity, which I don't even feel comfortable saying. Anyway, he did that, and people are like,
I will
outraged.
Say that is a criticism, and there's an intelligent conversation to be had about it.
Yeah.
But he's not having the intelligent conversation.
And I wish I could play the clip, because you would appreciate this has nothing to do with anything real. Yeah. He was just trying to tell a joke that was offensive and disrespectful.
He was setting himself on fire so everybody would look.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He did not, I guess he did later apologize, but people, like, he has courted controversy, much like many loud radio people have over the years. So I always wonder, when that behavior happens, again, living in the world that we live in, like, what is he trying to distract from when he's trying to get headlines about Zac Efron?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's to counter any criticism he's had recently, because, again, I don't listen and I'm not in Australia, so I don't know that bubble. But there have been there's like a whole slew of criticisms that he has found himself in the midst of, or, you know, having to respond to, like stuff about the disabled community. And
sounds like a real neat guy.
Just like it kind of all becomes clear when you realize that it shouldn't surprise us that he says things to get attention, is what I'm saying.
Right. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing that I was thinking that I will say is, like, I don't even have to walk all the way down that road to tell you what I think of a person who allegedly is such good friends with somebody that in the public eye that he knows intimate details
and
of
is sharing them
and is sharing them in the microphone. I just, to me, that is despicable. You don't do that. If somebody, I assure you that there are many people in media who have high profile friendships and they don't open up the microphone or stand in front of the camera on their TV shows and spill secrets about that person.
Or if they do, they are doing it with the tacit permission of those individuals.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But I don't buy that he has the tacit permission of Zac Efron to talk about anything. So I would not, like, this is... I also just, when you sort of, like, watch him in action, you're not like, oh, that's a dude hanging out with Zac Efron.
Which then begs the question.
Yeah, they're bro-ing out.
Yeah, they don't appear to be in that. Yeah, I don't, I'm not buying that.
What? But then that begs the question. The question that I've been asking ever since his birthday. Why was Kyle Sandilands invited to his birthday party and not us? Sorry, the second part I haven't asked.
I will
asked.
Say, you know.
But truly, like, why was he invited then to the birthday party?
Yeah, I mean, maybe a bunch of people were, and maybe it wasn't really a birthday party. Maybe it was just a party that Zach happened to show up at. Mm. I mean, again, people can paint all sorts of pictures. I will say, in Australia, people know who he is. So it's not like he's, you know, Colleen and Bradley from noon to three, Monday through Friday on My Talk 107.1.
Hidden over here in middays.
Which our, you know, Twin Cities audience knows and loves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah!
But people in Australia, in a wider sense, are probably familiar with him because he is a, quote, shock jock.
Sydney's number one breakfast show.
Yeah. So he's like, yeah. He's of a piece.
Yeah, he's doing the thing that shock jocks do.
Yeah.
Let me light myself on fire.
Yeah.
And then apologize when I need to. The
and
whole
then
time,
do it again.
And then do it again and again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, again,
again, and again.
And then I saw this whole piece on this, you know, big house that he bought. Like, he is not a...
You're saying he's a success. He's successful at setting himself on fire.
Yes.
And apologizing and setting himself on fire.
It's a big return on his investment. Let's put it that way.
Which, I mean, that is, again, that is there's a certain kind of person who can put their conscience, you know, in a box under the bed.
Mm-hmm. And then say they're friends with Zach.
Yes, exactly. So we know what we're
dealing
with.
I just buy Zach's clothes to be close to him. You know, I mean, we all do what we have to do.
You know what, Bradley? I'm going to go ahead and just say, maybe let's not expose.
Oh,
actual creep nature.
If you know me, you know.
Do you ever, though, tell the truth? Just take them out and huff them?
No, I haven't actually looked at them since I bought them. I took them out when I bought them, and then I put them right back in their bag, and they are now under a bed or something. I don't even honestly could not tell you where they are in my house. Oh. They're somewhere safe and secure.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. In case of emergency,
break glass.
Yeah.
When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, what's your favorite kind of French fry? 651-641-1071. What's your favorite kind of French fry? We'll take your calls. We'll talk French fries. And it's okay if potato cake is your answer.
No,
after
not,
this,
actually,
yes, it is.
That's not a fry.
Yeah, no, it is. No, it's any kind of potato product. I'm opening up the conversation.
Potatoes?
No, not that kind. Hash